Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to everybody here on the East Coast, and good morning to our listeners joining us on the West Coast, and hello to our international listeners as well. Welcome, everybody, to today's broadcast, How to Use Metaphors for Power, Clarity, and Inspiration, here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm your host today, Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach, and I'm very pleased to be here today with coaches Deb Gottman of S2C Coaching and Annette Johnson, the Fly Coach. Today we're going to discuss how to choose and tap into metaphors that can bring you power, comfort, and inspiration. But first I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce my co-host and myself. So I'd love for us all to tell our listeners a little bit of background of who we are and our coaching work and how listeners can reach us after the show. So Deb, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hi, everybody. I'm Deb Gottman, and I want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to spend this time with you today. I am from S2C Coaching, CEO and founder. I also am an author of the soon-to-be-released Finger Painting of a Real Woman. My specialty in my coaching is lost and found pathways, and that is guiding my clients through pathways of grief and loss. I can be reached at d.28@yahoo.com, and my number is 815-671-1824. And Carrie and Annette, I am so excited about this hour and am honored to share it with you as we chat.
Well, we're so happy to have you here with us, Deb. Thank you. And Annette, tell us a little bit about you and your work.
Sure. First of all, official hello, and I'm honored to be on this show with you today and sharing this topic. It's very interesting, and I'm sure it'll be a very powerful conversation. I'm Annette Johnson, the Fly Coach. You can reach me right now on Facebook, and you can find me by my name, Annette Johnson, the Fly Coach. My website is currently under construction, and I also have a book that's scheduled to be released in mid-fall called Fly, which is Forgive and Love Yourself, A Path to Letting Go and Living with Inner Peace. And my radio show, I have a solo radio show on International Life Coach Radio, which is called Fly Conversation, which was inspired by the book. So I enjoy working with women, women who are in transition, women who are soul searching and just looking to take their life to the next level, and with a real focus on forgiving and loving yourself and using that as a springboard to help women move forward.
Annette, I'm so excited to have your perspective on the show today, because how powerful metaphors can be when we're in transition. So great to have you on the show as well. So I'll introduce myself. I'm Carrie Spaulding, and I'm the 30-something coach. So what I do is I help 30-somethings who aren't who or where they thought they'd be with their careers and relationships and lives. And often my clients are experiencing 30-something panic. I call it 30 what? Feeling like they should have figured it out by now. And what I do is I help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they want in their lives. Sometimes that means navigating major transitions like career changes and breakups and big moves. And I also help 30-somethings create and nurture healthy and satisfying relationships. And I particularly love working with parents to help them navigate children's social and emotional challenges and to use positive and effective communication with their kids. I live in Philadelphia, and I do most of my coaching over the phone, which I love because it means I can work with people all over the place. And you can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com. That's CarrieSpaulding.com. And all my 30-somethings out there, or anyone who feels connected to me in some way, you can reach me and sign up for free tips and tools on my website there. You can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach, 30-something written out, no numbers, no spaces. And you can follow me on Twitter at @SpauldingCarrie. So today's show is all about metaphors and how we can use them in our lives and our transitions. And in this broadcast, you're going to learn how to choose and really tap into metaphors that can bring you power and comfort and inspiration no matter what you're up against or no matter what you're working with in your life. So if you're going through a huge transition, metaphor can be really powerful for helping you really choose your perspective and draw inspiration and comfort and power. Or maybe if you're trying to manage your really strong emotions in your relationships and your interpersonal relationships, you're really struggling with anger or frustration or fear, metaphor can be used to really ground you. We're going to talk about that too. Or maybe you just want to up your game in life generally. So you're a leader or a manager or you're an athlete and you want to be able to use metaphors to help you up your game and really perform at your peak. What's amazing is that we talk in metaphors so much more than I think we even realize, and I'm sure that Deb and Annette, as we talk, will all share examples of, you know, the people that we work with and how we ourselves almost naturally tend to go to metaphor, because metaphors are incredibly efficient. They convey so much in such a short time. When we say, it's like I'm such and such, or, you know, I imagine that I am a such and such, it doesn't just convey that literal word. It conveys emotion. It conveys power. It conveys a lot. So I'm very excited to talk to you all about this today. And before we really jump in, listeners, we really want to know what metaphors you love to use in your life. Or maybe what are you struggling with in your life and you'd like some coaching to kind of help you find a powerful metaphor for yourself. So if you'd like to call in and ask a question or share a metaphor or just make a comment on anything you hear today, the number you can call is 646-716-9397. And there will be moments during the show where we'll be stopping to take any calls that come in. And we also have chat activated, so feel free to jump on the chat as well. And we'll be really excited to have any participation from any of our listeners today. And if you love what you hear today, just a reminder that you can listen to the archive of this show anytime right here at the Life Coach Radio Network by clicking on that same link that you used today. So Annette and Deb, I'm really curious, how can a metaphor give someone power or clarity? And that, how do you see metaphors being opening doors to power or clarity?
Well, I'm going to answer that by sharing an example. You know, in preparing for this show, I realized that metaphors are everywhere, like you said, and it's a part of our language. It's more common than I think I even realized. But it made me think about a conversation I had with one of my clients, who is a young woman who had recently graduated college and was transitioning, out into the world on her own, and was really overwhelmed by debt. So as we know, you come out of college and, you know, you leave with your personal belongings that you've had for 4 years, but you also leave with this big debt from your student loans, right? And she had really, really become overwhelmed by it to the point where it was very emotional for her. She felt, you know, really frozen. But she used this term and she said, you know, I'm just in a sea of debt and I'm drowning and I'm never going to get out of it. And it was in that moment that I was able to help her shift, because of course, if you see yourself in a sea, you're one speck in a sea of water, it's easy to accept the fact that you would be consumed possibly or overwhelmed by it, because it's just so huge, it's so big. But, you know, when we talk through it, at the end of that conversation, she was able to realize that her debt was not bigger than her. It wasn't bigger than the world that she lives in. It wasn't bigger than, you know, her personality, her heart, and, you know, everything that made her this beautiful person, a beautiful soul. And that, you know, she could take this and break it down into smaller chunks to make it more manageable for her to deal with. And so it was just very powerful to watch her go from that big, oh, I'm drowning, to, oh, okay, this is manageable if I change my perspective and how I look at it and how I perceive it and break it into more manageable, you know, components and then break it down into specific steps that I can take to, you know, to tackle it or to overcome it.
And what an incredible flip that is. From feeling like I'm drowning, I have no power here, right? Or another metaphor that people will use is quicksand, right? Like I'm sinking.
Yes.
And there's this sense of powerlessness, this loss of control. And what really jumped out at me when you're speaking is her debt wasn't bigger than her. Metaphors have this, when we choose metaphors that really work well for us, or when we flip the metaphor of powerlessness and use it to kind of regain that sense of agency and control, it can completely shift how we feel about a whole situation. And
even in
what I noticed too is it's interesting in that you said she felt frozen, and I noticed you used the metaphor even when you were just talking about her, the way that they just kind of flow out of us, we don't even know it.
I know.
But so many ways that we describe our emotions are metaphor.
Right.
So, Deb, what about you? How do you find metaphors to be sources of power or clarity or inspiration?
Well, this is a great topic. And metaphors, I tap into them with my clients when they start experiencing a lot of confusion. And many, many years ago, one of the first things I was taught that always stuck with me, and it was a metaphor that a confused mind says no. And so with that, I always experience the fact that when a confused mind says no and they start to shut down, going back with a metaphor allows the mind to have clarity, to tap into that emotion, and to become uncluttered. So using a metaphor just empowers yourself and the people around you to move forward. What's interesting is through grief and loss, when working with metaphors, there's a lot of metaphors that come like just in time, you'll feel better or things will get better in time and as you go on. And what I find is very powerful is not just using metaphors in a positive way, but taking metaphors like that and turning them around. Because metaphors have become such a way of language for us, sometimes we don't even know we're saying them to people in times of grief or loss. So not just using and pointing out the metaphors, but taking them and turning them to allowing to release maybe any negative place in that position that they have in their grief and their loss and turning it into a positive aspect to move them forward.
And Deb, when you said you were talking about the confused mind, that's so powerful because metaphors, when we choose them consciously, gives us something to focus on. And it's, you know, we all are going to have triggers in our lives. We're all going to have certain things that kind of pull us back down into that quicksand, right? Or make us kind of feel like we're starting to sink or whatever metaphor we're going to use here. And when you have a metaphor, it can immediately give you something to really focus on and clear all that mental clutter.
Yeah.
And how powerful that must be during times of grief or loss when you feel that you're powerless against the time that it takes to heal.
Exactly. So, Carrie, share with us.
What's that?
Share with us what is metaphors to you?
Well, you know, I think that the thoughts that you have just shared are really resonating with me. And I find that metaphors can be incredibly helpful as a source. It's like a tool in your toolbox that you can as a go-to. I use a lot of metaphors when I do a lot of relationship work, and one of the ways that I find metaphors to be the most sort of powerful or clarifying is when people are trying to manage emotions, right? So when we're feeling really triggered, one of my favorite metaphors is the tree and the idea that, and I got this, I want to completely urge people and share where this came from. For me, the Buddhist writer Thich Nhat Hanh, I believe, is the first person who ever articulated this metaphor in a way that really resonated with me. And we're going to talk a little bit toward the end of the hour about resources that we want to share with you, so I can tell you more about that in a minute. But he talks about this idea that you as a human are a tree and your roots are strong and they're in the ground, and sometimes we have to weather emotional storms. So our branches start to wave. And when you can kind of visualize that rootedness and the idea that you're strong and you're grounded and that it's totally natural that your branches are moving all over the place and even some twigs might be breaking off, and, you know, there's this huge waving effect, but you know that you can kind of know that your trunk is grounded and you're rooted. That can be incredibly powerful. And I find that I have some clients who use that metaphor almost every day because it really helps them whenever they're feeling triggered to kind of breathe into it. And I think that's just one really strong example of how when we start to be triggered in our lives or when we start to feel powerless, we can hang on. And there's a metaphor right there, right? I'm talking about like literally hanging on. But metaphorically, we can kind of hang on to that metaphor and we can use it to remind us how much power we have, and also who we want to be. Who do we want to choose to be in this moment? Do we want to be somebody sinking in quicksand, or do we want to be that strong tree and compassionately allow ourselves to let our branches wave a little bit, but trust that the storm is going to pass, and that's all it is, and it doesn't mean there's something wrong with us, that we're feeling triggered. There's this self-compassion that metaphors can bring up, as well as that power and that inspiration.
Wow. That was good, Carrie.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't even know how powerful metaphors are until we hear other people talking about them, and then it's like, oh, you know, I find myself drawing strength from the metaphors that my clients share with me, right? You know, that somebody else will say, oh, I feel like such and such, and that'll pop up in my mind when I'm encountering something in my own life, and I'll think, oh, that's brilliant. You know, they're gifts that we can give to each other. When we use metaphors in a really empowering way, it's really a gift that you can give someone, a tool for their tool belt. I'm curious, what are some of the most powerful metaphors you use, either for yourself or with clients or with friends? And I wonder if it might even help to break it down a little bit the way we talked about in the introduction, just by kind of general life situations. So maybe we'll start with transitions, because I know that's an area that all of us have some expertise and some interest, and that every human that might be listening can relate to. We all have times of transition. So what are some metaphors that you find really helpful in times of transition?
I can go. This is Annette Johnson. And, you know, I'm thinking about my introduction during a time of transition to metaphors. And I have to say, at the time, I didn't connect to it as a metaphor. It was more, at the time, it was more symbolic. It still is symbolic, but, you know, I'll explain the story first, and then maybe it'll make sense in our debrief. But I was going through a difficult time of transition, and there was a lot of emotional, real deep, heavy emotional stuff attached to it. But I went to a program, and it was the first time that I had heard somebody use a metaphor, and the metaphor was a butterfly. And the speaker broke down the whole metamorphosis, the whole life cycle of a butterfly, and connected that to the transformation process that women go through when they are, you know, coming out on the other side of some deep struggles. So, for example, it could be divorce, and you've been married for a long time, and now you are divorced, and you're going out into the world as a single person, maybe a single parent, and that can be a very dark, it can be a very frightening, you know, troubling experience. But on the other side of that, you can find, you know, the possibilities are unlimited. You know what I mean? You might go into it with this dark, heavy feeling, but on the other side of it, you may come come through that feeling more empowered and free and more joy and more happiness than you ever thought you would possibly experience. But she used the life cycle of the butterfly and that process of the process that the butterfly goes through before we see that beautiful creature that flutters around in all the different colors and the big, beautiful wings, and they can sometimes just take your breath away because they look so beautiful. Before they get to that stage, there's a pretty turbulent time that they have in their cocoon where they're going through that process of growing their wings and breaking through that cocoon to get free and spread their wings. And if they don't go through that struggle, like if somebody saw the cocoon rocking back and forth and went with a little pair of scissors to try to open it up and help them get through more quickly, they would come through that with deformed wings, and they wouldn't be able to fly. So the whole purpose of them going through that experience in that cocoon and struggling is a part of their life cycle. So somebody coming along and thinking they're doing a good deed by, you know, shortening that experience and that tiny crack that they have to, you know, find their way through to birth those wings, if they tried to help shorten that, it would totally, if not kill the butterfly, it would definitely produce a very deformed butterfly, and the wings would not be fully developed. And for me, that was knowing that, you know, on the other side of this struggle, like if I just hold on and allow myself to go through this struggle and experience it and not let the fear and discomfort of it consume me, that I can come out on the other side this beautiful, intact, you know, healthy creature, so to speak, that I was born to be. So that was very powerful for me. I used that metaphor in my book. And needless to say, I'm obsessed with butterflies. I love butterflies. I have two huge butterfly bushes in my backyard. And I love just sitting there watching them during this butterfly season, because they're now all congregating out in my yard on my butterfly bush. And it gives me a sense of hope, and it reminds me that struggle is not necessarily our enemy, that it's a part of life, and that we can embrace it and we can experience it and go through that process. And it won't kill us. We don't have to look at it as something that's going to destroy us or kill us, but make us stronger, more powerful, and more beautiful.
Ooh, that is so powerful. And again, it's such an example of one little, you can just look at that butterfly and all that can come up for you, and you know it, you can kind of tap into it instantly. And, you know, one of the things that you said made me think about my work with parents and educators. You said that, you know, the idea of if somebody were to see that it was struggling and come and try to help it out, that it would actually not be able to go through the transformation of the journey that it needs to go through. And
Right. That's
so true when we're working with children, or when we're any kind of helping professional, and we're working with anybody sort of through their journey, that we want to be facilitators of transformation. We want to be right there in support and giving our children tools and helping them through and helping them know that they've got somebody right there with them as they're going through these challenges. But if we try to completely solve, if we try to fix, then they're never going to be able to do what they need to do to grow the skill, to grow the strength that they need to fly. Another metaphor that says the same thing that I often think about is the idea of, you know, if we carry somebody over the mountain every time, they're never going to have the muscles or the skills to get over the mountain on their own.
Right.
So it's what a powerful reminder that when we feel compassion and we feel love, and we don't want anyone we love to suffer, we don't want anyone that we love to struggle, that there's such value in that struggle, and that, you know, while we may so desperately want to be able to fix it or stop it, that may not always be the best thing, or that may not always serve the person that we're trying to help.
Yeah, and it's really been an inspiration to my work and what I'm doing, you know, like I said, in the writing of the book, the radio show, because it just spills over into so many different areas of life. Like you said, even with my relationship with my daughters, you know, it's, of course, I want to protect them. I don't want them to struggle. I don't want them to be in pain. I don't want them to be in agony. It's difficult for me to watch, but it's a part of their growth. It's a part of their life cycle to learn how to think critically and to be able to solve problems and to be able to experience and handle pain and manage emotion. Like, it's all, you know, it kind of normalized that for me, that metaphor. It just normalized it for me and just gave me a little sense of peace around the concept of struggle, you know, and the discomfort of struggle.
And there's also a little reminder there that it normalizes and it also kind of contextualizes. Sometimes when we're in struggle or when our children are in struggle or when we are experiencing these emotions, they feel like forever. And so
yes,
it can kind of give you that helpful reminder that this is a part of life, but this isn't life. See, I'm about to use a metaphor without even meaning to. There's always going to be another turn in the road, or there's going to be another door to open. So, Deb, I want to really get you in on this idea of metaphor with situations of transition or navigating real challenges in life. Where do you find that? What metaphors do you find useful in that situation?
This metaphor, this is what came to my mind, was when I was listening to you guys talk, which was very, very powerful. The metaphor that I turned to that really impacted me, and so I continue to share it, is the metaphor of the pathway. That, you know, we're all walking down a path, and we're walking and we're living our life, and that's our experience and our journey. And then something happens to us, whether it be a death or a loss of job or something, a betrayal, or something that really jolted you and really threw you off that path. And it's just so, you imagine yourself walking in this path, and all of a sudden this jolt comes. Your life, your world was turned, and you got pushed off this path. And a lot of times we think that we should just be able to get up and get back on that path and start walking that path. But the reality is, when you've been jolted off that path, you just experienced a major life experience. So what you need to do is go to the place where, imagine yourself, you now just got jolted off that path. You're on a new path. Pick yourself up, and you're going to continue to walk. And you're not going to feel the same that you were on that other path, because you're not the same person anymore. You become better, but you can be more content or things. But the bottom line is, the metaphor is, you're walking along the path, you get jolted off. And as you start to walk again, you're not going to be able to jump over that same path. You're going to make a new pathway. And now you're going to, this other pathway is going to be comfortable, become comfortable and become a new way of life, and you have a new empowered way of thinking, and you're going to go along again, and something's going to happen, and you're going to get jolted to off that path. And again, you're going to have to set a new pathway. So that's the metaphor that I resonate with and that I continue to share, because it is very powerful to a lot of people that I've shared it with and have changed their perspective in as far as where they're at and transitioning into a new pathway that, you know, it's okay.
That's also such a great example of how when we can kind of really live into and hook into and tap into a metaphor during a point of challenge, it can then serve as a reference point for us throughout our continued lives, so that, you know, maybe you're using that metaphor and you sort of get through that hard time and then you encounter another boulder in your path, and it sort of allows you to have this continuity in all of your various struggles. You could think about, okay, what else has fallen into the path? And we can draw from these metaphors as a reference point. It almost is like a safe home to go to. When we're...
Absolutely. And it's like, you know, one of the things...
And there I go again.
Yeah, back to the metaphors. But it is like that, and that is how we talk, and it's how our brain works and the patterns of that. And the thing is that, like, when you're working through forgiveness and you tell yourself you well, I forgave that person. But the bottom line is you are no longer that same person that was on that path that was there before the forgiveness had to happen. So you have been jumped to a different path. And now you're walking through a path with a different outlook, a different person, a different being, because you were jolted. And the metaphor helps carry you through that and gives us power.
I think it also helps to put things in perspective.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes, and, you know, there are certain life experiences that are just, I mean, they're big, and there's just, you know, there's no kind of managing around it. It's only time, you know, only time can help in certain situations. But for the most part, I just find that sometimes we make our situations way bigger than they are or they need to be. And so the metaphors, you know, can help put things in perspective. There's one that, you know, my uncle, God rest his soul, used to use all the time, and I'm not going to quote it right, but it's something about it's about a storm. Like the storm, I can't even remember it now, but it's the idea that when the storm passes, the sun will shine again. You know, and he used to use that, like, you know, and he loved this phrase, this too shall pass, and he would always use it with this metaphor of a storm, and that storms don't last forever. You know, the storm comes, and the wind blows, the rain is heavy, it's dark, but what you can look forward to is that storm's not going to last forever. It's going to pass, and the sun's going to come out again, and you're going to see beautiful blue skies, and, you know, and you'll smile again, so it's not going to always be this way.
And knowing that those storms are going to come, that that's a part of life, we can also use a metaphor like the storm, to make the choice that we want to prepare ourselves to be able to navigate a storm. And so whether we're using a tree metaphor that, okay, so now life is really feeling good to me, and I'm going to use this time where it's sunny and just a light breeze, to see what I can do, what do I need to put into my life so that I strengthen my roots, so that I strengthen my trunk, so that I can really be grounded? Or what do I want to make sure that I put into the foundation of my home, right, so that I have a real grounded place from which to weather the storm or whatever it is, so that we can use metaphors not just to deal with the challenges when they're happening, but we can also use that same metaphor to think about how do we want to kind of take good care of ourselves and get ready for the storm in a way that's not fear-based, right? That's not, I have to constantly try to protect myself, but just in a way that's supportive of ourselves and knowing that life is going to bring us some tricky times.
Right.
One of the things that I often talk about when I'm talking to my clients about transition is, you know, when you're trying to make change and it feels really slow or you feel really small in some way, one metaphor that can really help is the sort of idea of a ripple in a lake, the ripple effect. And sometimes this might show up if we're trying to make new, you know, sometimes I work with people who have moved to a new city and they don't know anybody and they're constantly trying to get out there and meet people, but they're not really feeling like they're having much of an impact, or people who are trying to start businesses, which is a huge transition, and you're trying to create all of this initiative and you're just not even really sure. Sometimes you don't know sort of where those ripples will go from any little pebble that you throw out there. And so it can be really validating sometimes, a metaphor, to help you think about the big changes ultimately that may happen over time of the small actions that you're taking. Or if you're in an organization where, you know, you feel very small or powerless, you can think about what is the ripple effect of your little everyday actions that over time is going to build up to something bigger.
Yes.
That's good.
Another way of looking at the same thing is planting seeds, right? You plant a lot of different seeds. Maybe you're trying to make new friends. Maybe you're trying to build your business or let people know about some project you're excited about. And sometimes you plant the seeds, and sometimes you water the seeds in faith, and you don't really know which ones are going to sprout or when. But you know that over time, if you plant those seeds, or if you, you know, thinking about a dandelion, if you blow the seeds and they kind of scatter all over the place, you can trust that at some point some of them will sprout and sort of begin to make changes.
That's good. That's a good visual.
One thing that I want to make sure that we take some time to do before we go on is remind our listeners of how they can reach us. So if you are listening and you have questions or comments about anything we've discussed so far, you can call in at 646-716-9397. What metaphor stands out to you, or what are you discovering today? Or maybe you heard a metaphor that you are really excited to put into action in your own life. So whatever you're thinking about, please call us at 646-716-9397. And while you're thinking about doing that, we're going to tell you about some shows we have coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network, and then we'll take some calls if we have any, or if anybody wants to call into us on the chat. And oh, I'm looking on the chat now, and I see somebody. Oh, we have somebody chatting in with us and saying, love metaphors as well as analogies. It's like mentioning something without outing anyone, anyone that may relate to the metaphor. Oh, so thank you so much for that comment. And that's such an interesting point, mentioning something without outing anyone. I'm wondering if our listener who's coming in with that comment, what comes to mind when I read your comment is that almost like one of you was sharing earlier in the show about you had heard someone say a metaphor and it really resonated with you powerfully. And sometimes when we throw out a metaphor, somebody else can take it away with them and kind of play with it later in the safety of their own private lives without having to really share all of the details of what are going on for them. I'm curious, before we jump into kind of talking about the shows that are coming up, Deb and Annette, what do you pull out of that comment?
No, I can so relate to that because that's exactly what happened to me. I never shared the details or the specifics of what I was going through, but it was listening to the this speaker explain, use the life cycle of a butterfly in that way that just resonated with me. I can't explain why, but it just resonated with me, and it just made my situation seem more. It was not bigger than me anymore, and it just felt, you know, more manageable, and it just kind of made it normalized my life for me. It was like, wait a minute, you know, you're not exempt from struggling. You know, the beauty of life is in how we come through the struggles and how it makes us stronger and how it develops new skills and how it opens our heart, our mind, our way of thinking. Like that's the beauty of it. But we don't always look for the beauty in the struggle. We look for the pain, the dark, the ugly in the struggle. That's what we usually clamp onto and hold onto. And so that, it was just powerful for me. But I did not have to share the details of what I was going through for that to have the impact on me that it did.
And, you know, it's amazing the sort of the way that metaphors can grow inside of somebody and kind of even churn a little bit maybe inside of somebody for a little while that the metaphor is a gift that you can give where somebody can safely take it. And then it's amazing to me that you're talking about this experience, which was a long time ago, and it's still with you so profoundly.
We
have a comment coming in on the chat. Sharing a metaphor, life is like a river. Are you going to flow with it or go against it or sit on the bank and observe? That's juicy.
Isn't that
juicy? Are you going to flow with it or go against it or sit on the bank and observe?
Wow. And
now you get that
somebody liking the metaphor, liking the butterfly metaphor as well, transformation and change and how we shift through our lives.
And what's so great about that one is it really allows, when you say that to somebody, it really allows them to provoke thinking and a way of being and motivation at the same time. And I like, I also want to comment on the first comment that we had in without outing somebody. And what brought to my mind was, what's perfect is when you're sitting with somebody who's talking in a place about maybe somebody else or not understanding, to grab a metaphor like that without outing them is, you know, one that I do use that helps where it doesn't out the other person but brings the focus back is, remember, what someone says is about them, and how you hear it is about you.
Yes.
So it turns it so you're not outing somebody else, but yet you're taking it and turning it back into to where it needs to be. So I just
we can all make our own. We can all. It is amazing, isn't it? How we could all hear the same metaphor, or we can all hear the same sort of real life thing and probably pull hundreds of metaphors out of it. So if we look at the river, for example, that our listener just shared with us, it's amazing how many metaphors people pull out of water, right? Water and bodies of water tend to just be rich, and any group of 100 listeners, if we asked them to think about water as a metaphor, would probably come up with so many different ways of looking at that. Because what they're going to hear is really about them and their own experiences and what they're going through right at any given moment.
Yeah.
So if you are listening in and you have a comment for us, or if you want to write in on the chat like some of our listeners are doing, we welcome you to do that. And we're going to tell you about some shows that we have coming up. Just to tell you a little bit more about the Life Coach Radio Network in general, the network consists of coaches from around the world, and we're continuing to grow. We have a sister international network as well, and you can tune into that network going to blogtalkradio.com/internationallifecoachradio. And we've also just launched our website, which we are very excited about, at www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. So check that out. You can see some of your hosts and learn a little bit more about what we're doing there. We have a show on almost every single day and so many interesting topics, and we really encourage you to look around and check out the upcoming shows. There are lots of fascinating coaches with particular areas of interest and expertise. So just to give you a preview of some shows that are coming up soon, tomorrow on Saturday at 9 Eastern, we have Mark My Words with life and business coach Mark Shaw. And Mark is going to be talking about the art of confrontation with Tanya Ezekiel, career coach. They're going to be discussing how to confront someone from the right place in the right way, in a way that makes the most significant difference in a professional or personal relationship. And in a minute, I'm hoping we're going to share some metaphors with you that you can use in relationships. So it'll be really cool to kind of think about how you can use, how you can connect these two shows. Tanya's going to talk to you about turning difficult conversations into more successful and productive ones. And she'll be sharing the 3 most critical steps that you can start using right now to help you be a great communicator. On Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have Frank Talk, The Language of Your Life. The language we use in our lives often points to how our life will unfold for us. And in this episode, Frank is going to look at how we can use language to help us create more happiness for ourselves. And then finally, on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, we have New You City Chat with Danielle Mercurio, Manifest Your Dreams. And Danielle inspires city dwellers to find balance amidst the chaos, all while looking and feeling their hottest, most confident selves. And on this episode, Danielle's going to discuss how visualization and affirmations can help you achieve your dream city life. And you're going to learn ways to manifest positivity and results through the simplest thoughts and techniques, and you're going to see how to make the city really work with you as opposed to against you. So all our city dwellers out there, you will not want to miss that on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. So coming back to our discussion here, I'm really curious about how, you know, we just talked about a show that's coming up on relationships, and I'm wondering how metaphors help us really work in relationships and how they help us deal with our personal relationships or professional relationships. And I want to kind of put that out to you, Annette and Barb. I noticed a lot of metaphor possibilities and in the way that I work with relationships. I'm curious what you see.
Well, one that I hear a lot is the bank metaphor and the idea of deposits and withdrawals. And I've heard that in a different in a variety of settings as it pertains to relationships, and it's general enough. I think it applies to any relationship, and it's the idea of making more withdrawals than you've made deposits. So, you know, when you deposit compassion, care, trust, you know, all those things that love, you know, all empathy, all those things that nurture a really healthy and balanced relationship. When, you know, things happen and you have to make a withdrawal, maybe it's, you know, a negative experience, you've made enough deposits over the life of that relationship where that one withdrawal won't deplete the relationship, won't deplete the account. But if you're making more withdrawals, if you're taking more than you're depositing, then, you know, your relationship winds up being bankrupt because there's nothing really for you to pull from because you haven't made any deposits. So using that as a metaphor, maybe an analogy, maybe it's more of an analogy than a metaphor, where you can't possibly think that you're going to go to the bank and take $100 out when you've only deposited $10-$20 over the past year.
That is so brilliant, and it really ties into that idea we were talking about earlier with the kind of preparing yourself to weather a storm with the emotional bank account or the relationship bank account, thinking about how do I keep my relationship healthy by really making sure that I'm infusing it with deposits rather than just waiting for the time when I need to make a withdrawal. Love that.
And I think that's general enough. I mean, I think that can apply in any relationship. If you think about your relationship with your boss or your coworkers or a family member or your partner, you know, whatever relationship you have is important on some level, or you wouldn't have it. You know, you wouldn't have that connection. So I think it's something that can apply to, you know, any relationship. But obviously, the closer the relationship, the more important it is to you, the more deposits you're going to make.
I also think that metaphors in relationships can really help you to understand others and yourself and sort of just take a look at your differences and how you approach things without judgment. So, for example, you know, sailboats versus motorboats. So some people, when they're approaching a problem and maybe a conflict, maybe in a personal conflict or maybe in a problem or a challenge that you're working on externally, some people tend to really kind of go with the wind, go with the flow, move more slowly, be you know, take a little bit more time, whereas some people want to be motorboats. They want to be really, they have a goal, and they want to just get there very directly and very quickly and power through. And I think that sometimes metaphors, when you have a professional team, it might be interesting if you're having some challenges with your colleagues or a professional team to kind of think about metaphors and how does each person on this team naturally tend to approach a challenge or approach a difficult conversation? How many sailboats do we have here? How many motorboats do we have here? And that can also allow you to say, I want to channel my inner sailboat today, or I want to channel my inner motorboat. How do I want to approach this problem? Or if your partner or a member of your family tends to approach things in a really different way from you, you may look for a metaphor there, because the thing about metaphors is that they can really help you kind of remove judgment of the other person or of another way of doing things and just kind of look at it as a difference, but not necessarily good or bad.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
That's a good point. That was good, Carrie.
So when you think, Barb about relation. I'm sorry, I called you Barb. What do you think, Deb, about relationships and metaphors? What comes up for you?
Well, I shared the one, and that's one of my favorite. Is what someone says is about them, and how you hear it is about you. That one really puts a lot, especially in a relationship, into perspective of, you know, where, you know, how are you hearing it? Where are you at? Because it has nothing to do about the other person. It's just how you're receiving it. So that's a good turnaround that allows my clients to go and determine, you know, what's showing up for me? How is this really showing up? And where am I at in receiving this? And another one that came to my mind is, it's so hard when you have to and so easy when you want to, that, you know, sometimes we get into a place that, well, I have to make this relationship work, or I have to, this has to be this way, or, you know, and it becomes hard. And when something's hard, you put up blocks for it. So turning around when you have to, and when you change the wording of, well, what do I want? And I wonder what that's going to be. It kind of releases the sense of fear and hardness, and even the feel between the panic of have to, you know, I want to, just how you say it softens it. So using a metaphor of a hardness and then turning one, the next phrase, in a softness, it seems to allow us to attach to it more and emotionally buy into it.
And so again, sort of thinking about how can we take the sort of the pressure and the judgment off and really just be gentle with the situation and our emotions. And I mentioned earlier, and I want to ask you both if you have any resources to share. Another great one from Thich Nhat Hanh is the idea that when a baby is crying, the parent doesn't need to know, like, what's wrong in order to pick it up and take care of it. And when you're having challenging emotions, or maybe your partner is having a really hard time, whether or not you completely understand it or whether it makes sense according to your perspective, you can still make the choice to take good care of it and to treat it gently. And so maybe this is a good time. I see we actually have a caller, and boy, I feel like we could talk for another hour about this topic, and there's so much more to say. But I'm curious about what resources you might recommend to our listeners. I've mentioned Thich Nhat Hanh a few times, and that's my absolute favorite in terms of some of the metaphors that he uses. And you can look at the book, You Are Here. That's a really wonderful one. It's a bright yellow book. And he has lots and lots of other books as well. Is there anything that you recommend to our listeners before we quickly take our caller and then kind of close up for today?
I don't have a specific book that I would recommend, but I will tell you, even in preparing for this show, if you go in and Google the word metaphor, just tons of information comes up. And it's, you know, it's very enriching, it's very enlightening information. So there's just lots to choose from. And even, you know, you can Google, you know, top five books or top 10 books on metaphors, and, you know, the information comes up.
Yeah, and one that I would recommend is Metaphors We Live By Lakoff and Johnson. And what's so powerful about this book is not only do they go through great metaphors, but they also go into the role of metaphors in our language, in our everyday lives, and the concept of it through our brain patterns. And it really doesn't just give you the metaphors, but it allows you to understand how they work through our brains and how we receive them.
That sounds like a great resource, and absolutely, Google is everything that seems to be Googleable. So check those things out. I'm definitely going to be checking out the one that you just mentioned. And we have just a few minutes left. We're going to take our caller, and then I'm going to ask our host to kind of weigh in with any closing thoughts or thoughts about how metaphors really kind of seem to show up for you and the people that you work with and how we can contact you. So I'm going to go ahead and greet our caller from area code 905. Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hi, thanks for calling
Hi.
In. What would you like to share with us?
No, I just popped in, you know, during the conversation. My name is Dennis, and I'm speaking with, is it Annette?
Yeah.
And with whom else am I speaking with?
Deb. And Carrie and Deb.
Carrie and Deb? Okay, hi.
Hi,
yeah,
Dennis.
My name is Dennis. Hi. I love metaphors. They're a good way to express a thought per se, where that people can relate to, and you know see that working within their own lives. And another one struck me as you were just speaking before you took my call is like you know and you mentioned this earlier. Is like when you drop a pebble in the water, in the ocean, say you were in New York or whatnot, and the waves, the ripples, will extend outwards to Europe and throughout the world. These are waves. These are actions that we make in our own lives do affect, really, others. And even our thoughts do as well, and it's interesting way to share expressions through
right.
metaphors and analogies, and at the same time, oh, I just lost my train. You mentioned motorboats and sailboats, and yeah, and when I put that analogy into the chat or the metaphor or whatnot about the river of life sitting on the bank, yeah, you could be in a canoe, you know, you can be in a kayak and ride the rapids, you can be in a sailboat.
You could be on a surfboard, right?
Cool, of course, right? You pick your mode of transportation through that river, right? And yeah, some are on rafts. And yeah, some are on yachts. And guess what? At the end of the day, we're still on, we're all on sharing the same river, you know. And I find that.
And there's another metaphor we hear so often, right? We're all in the same boat. We're on the
yeah,
same river sometimes.
Yeah,
well, Dennis, thank you so much for sharing your comments, and I'm really excited
you.
To hear that these resonated with you. And
thanks.
And. Thank you for taking the time to call in and let us know where metaphors show up for you.
Well put, Dennis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. You know, I appreciate the work that you're doing for us all, and keep on keeping on. So, thank
Great.
You.
We hope you'll stay connected. Thank you.
Thank you.
When we're going to kind of wrap up here, which is kind of sad because there's so much more. Let's see, we can come up with a metaphor here, right? There's a bottomless cup of coffee of metaphors that we can talk about today. So I'm going to just invite both of you to kind of share any closing thoughts and how our listeners can reach you and follow you, and maybe when you'll next be on the network so that our listeners can tune in as well. So why don't we start with you, Deb?
Well, first of all, Carrie, I want to congratulate you. What a great topic. And you're right. This could go on forever, and I think this is a wonderful topic, so congratulations on that. Deb Gockman, and you can reach me at dgock28@yahoo.com, and my number is 815-671-1824. And just like Annette, my website and everything is under construction right now, and so hopefully that'll be up soon and running, but go ahead and reach me at 815-671-1824 or dbach@28yahoo.com.
Perfect. And Matt, how about you? How can our listeners follow up with you and any closing thoughts that you want to share for today?
Yeah, my closing thought would be, if there's a metaphor that continues to show up in your life and that you hear over and over again, or that connects with you in a certain way, to not dismiss it, because I think there's lessons that can be learned through that. There are powerful transformations that can take place and energy shifts. So I would just encourage you to follow it and seek it out and see where it leads you. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com, Annette Johnson, The Fly Coach, S-L-Y. My next show, I just got a new schedule, and my schedule now is every second and fourth Saturday at 12 noon on International Life Coach Radio. So every second and fourth Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. on International Life Coach Radio. And those shows will be posted on our network as they as my show guests get confirmed. So it's been a great conversation. Thank you, Carrie and Deb. I feel honored to have spent my hour with you today.
Thank you.
And, you know, I wanted to sort of say, if we have any listeners out there, as sort of my closing thought, a couple of tips. If you're listening and you want to kind of find some metaphors that will work for you, first of all, certainly feel free to tap into any of the ones that we've shared today. But, you know, one way to do it is to look at an area of strength that you already have in your life. So maybe you're really struggling in your relationship, but you're a pro on the golf course. So think about that area, you know, how can you tap into your strengths, or how can you tap into the mindset that you use when you're playing golf? How is this relationship like golf? That's just one example of how you could find your own metaphor. Or take, you know, like we were talking about at the beginning of the call, maybe take a situation, a metaphor that feels negative, like I'm drowning, and use it to empower you and turn it around. Okay, so how are you going to build a boat? And sometimes tapping into that sort of more negative energy metaphor, you can turn it around and kind of get power. So you can reach me by going to my website at carriespaulding.com, CarrieSpaulding.com. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach. The 30-something coach, all written out, no numbers or letters. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Spaulding Carrie, and you can reach me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com as well. And all of us are available, and you can contact us through the Life Coach Radio Network. Be sure to like us on Facebook, and I really look forward to hearing from you and what metaphors came out of this show for you. You can feel free to email any of the hosts after the show, and we hope you'll tune in again every day at the Life Coach Radio Network. Thank you so much to Deb and Annette for joining us and for your wonderful thoughts today, and thank you to our listeners. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.